Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. The Enneagram personality tests have become very popular, even in the church. I have heard that the test has pagan roots and am uncomfortable with Christians being told who they are from a godless perspective. I also think defining yourself according to certain types can lead to excusing wrong behavior because the test tells you that's just who you are. Should Christians really be giving any credence to this kind of thing?
I get the sense with this question, this person has a pretty good idea what they think, and they're wondering, am I right? And that's totally fine, because I think this will be helpful to a broad swath of folks. My answer is yes and no. Wouldn't it be terrible if we just answered every question with yes or no? should Christians really give any credence to this type of thing? Well, yes and no.
Till next time, Greg.
Yeah, we probably have like three or four listeners, maybe.
Yeah,
and not even our wives. Yeah, so yeah, I'd say yes and no.
So if you're saying yes and no, that means it depends, right?
Yeah.
So it depends on what?
Yeah, it depends on what credence means. Should Christians give any credence to these personality tests? It depends on what you mean by that. If even taking a test means that you're giving credence to it, I might say I disagree with that. There are a lot of people taking these tests just to have fun with friends. It's like a parlor trick almost to some folks. I personally am not quite sure why. It seems to me that let me pause here and tell people what these tests are, because there may be some people wondering, like, what an Enneagram test? When I first heard that word, I thought it was A-N-Y-A-Graham. Like, I didn't know, what are you even talking about? It's just a personality test. You get online, you answer a bunch of questions about yourself, and the thing spits out your personality type in the form of a number, and then tells you a bunch of stuff about yourself.
Yep.
Which, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like magic to me, but it's a lot of fun to a lot of people.
You know, I took one recently, and it asked a question. And then, like, 50 questions later, it asked the same question. I couldn't even remember what I answered the first time. So
I think it's probably testing your perseverance.
No, it really is. And I think at the end it just said, you're a liar.
That's right.
No, yeah. But I remember that. And yeah. I was like, what? This is hard. And it's about me.
Yeah.
Because you have a scale.
Right.
It is kind of thorough in some ways. So,
right.
Yeah.
But I've done one of these, but it kind of struck me as a little bit silly. I mean, I felt like, okay, I'm telling this thing about me, and then it's gonna tell me about me. I don't understand.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, that sounds. Please forgive me. That sounds really condescending to people who think they're fun, and I'm sorry. I've hated fun since I was a young boy. Did I ever tell you that story?
You didn't.
Well, let me tell you now. My parents took me and my older sister I think it was a fair, like the county fair, when I was like 4 years old. And I was not excited about getting on these rides and stuff. So my parents were like playing it up. Oh, we're going to get on the Ferris wheel. This is going to be so much fun. And then we're going to get on this thing. It's going to be so much fun. And they're doing this the whole night, especially my mom. So we're in the car on the way home. And I've just not enjoyed this at all. So in the car on the way home, my mom said, "Oh, Greg, wasn't that fun?" And I said, "I hate fun." I just decided that day I hated fun. So that's
Been
an inside joke in our family since. And people who know me today probably would think, "Yeah, that sounds about right." Getting back to the question, personally, I don't see anything wrong with taking these tests or having fun taking the tests. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
So what level of credence would be problematic?
Yeah, I think there's a level of credence that would be problematic, and I think probably the level of credence implied by this questioner, where people are using the tests to form an identity or to guide their decision-making, or something that I just learned about yesterday, doing a sermon series on it. I mean, I just learned that there are churches doing sermon series on the the Enneagram personality test. Like, they'll do a sermon series on each one of the personality types, and
my goodness,
blows my mind. I kind of forget that we're in a little bit of a cocoon here at Providence, and that there are kind of wacky things going on out there. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So, yeah, I mean, going beyond having fun with it, I think that's problematic. You would not want to give to believe that this thing has any kind of authority or ability to say anything meaningful about your life. Like, this is who you are. Hmm. This is what you should do. This is how you should understand yourself. That would be truly problematic.
So let's talk more about that. Why would it be a problem to allow a personality test like this one or any other to be the basis of our identity or to guide our decision making?
Well, let's start with the identity thing. And the scriptures are just, they're super clear that as a believer in Jesus Christ, my identity is in Him. Anything that doesn't look like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in the loving process of shaving that off. So I ought not ever think this is who I am and this is how I'm going to stay. Now, that doesn't deny the reality of personalities, and it doesn't imply that to have a personality that differs from somebody else's personality is ungodly, but to say that this set of characteristics, this is who I am, that isn't true. Or worse, to say this is how I inevitably relate to the world, that all of that is anti-gospel. A believer is somebody who is constantly changing by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. They aren't somebody who has carved out an identity outside of Christ that they are okay with. I mean, that is nonsense Oprah speak, and we should reject it. I think of Philippians 3. Paul's attitude was, get all of this me and what the world would say makes me great, get it out of here, and let's major on Jesus. That's the Greg Birdwell paraphrase of Philippians 3:8-9, where he writes, "For this sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." Again, you know, taking the test is not terrible. Talking about it with your friends, "Ah, oh, ha, 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 this is funny. Isn't this accurate?" Whatever. I just can't say, "Oh, this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be," and deal with it. It may be helpful even to go through the thing and put some biblical labels on it put a biblical label on some of the characteristics. But let me say something about the identity thing. The questioner said that one danger is that people can say, "Oh, this is my personality type, and that's just the way I am." And I completely agree that that's a danger. But I don't know that that's a danger that's unique to the Enneagram test. I think that's a danger of the human heart. I mean, I've heard people do that as a result of spiritual gift tests. Have you ever taken one of those tests?
No, I refuse to.
Okay, good for you. I could wallpaper my house with the spiritual gift tests that I've taken. I mean, I've taken a jillion of these things. I've heard people say, based on those tests, "I don't have the gift of evangelism, so can't do that."
The questions may be uncovering like a sin issue in your life. "Do you share the gospel regularly with people?" "No." And it's like, see, I'm just not cut out for this. Right. Rather, it should be, "I need to repent of that."
Yeah. But yeah.
That's why I won't take them, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Another example, and I've heard this more times than I can shake a stick at. Back in the day, there was this idea that New Testament prophecy was just a compulsion to speak truth. So if you were a New Testament prophet, you just have this, you have to speak the truth. And so some of these spiritual gift tests would ask questions like, "Do you sometimes speak the truth, even in insensitive ways?" And there were enough of these tests out there that people began to think, well, this is just a characteristic of New Testament prophecy. It isn't, in my view, but that began to be the idea. Anyway, I've heard numerous people over the years tell stories about how they got up in somebody's face and spoke the truth, not in love, but abrasively, and at times broke relationships, and then followed that story with something like, well, I'm a prophet. Like, that's what I am. Now, can you believe it? I've heard that multiple times? And my point is, I'm not so sure that's a unique danger to Enneagram tests. I just think that's a natural propensity of our ungodly hearts. We just want to we want to justify the way that we are, and we'll find any way that we can to do it. We shouldn't say that about anything, that this is just the way that I am. That's anti-gospel. The gospel teaches that the Holy Spirit is changing us into the image of Christ all the time. I'm not what I was. I'm also not what I'm going to be. I'm constantly changing.
Amen. So what about the issue of decision-making?
Yes. Well, some people would make decisions about who to marry or what job to take or other things based on tests like these. And Enneagram is all the rage right now. In the past, it's been others like the Myers-Briggs personality test. Have you ever heard of that one?
Nope.
It's probably before your time. Anyway, people put a lot of stock in these things. I've known Christians who were so into the Myers-Briggs tests that they wouldn't even consider dating somebody that wasn't of a compatible personality type. It strikes me that just kind of ignores what the Bible teaches about the compatibility of a man and a woman. There's no such thing as a compatibility, natural compatibility of a man and a woman. God said to the woman in Genesis 3:16, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, I'm not going to go into a deep exegesis of that thing, but basically what's going on there is your husband is going to be bent against you, and you're going to be bent against your husband. And that part of the curse, that reaches to you whether you're a 5 and your spouse is a 2, or whether your spouse is a 17 and you're a 0, or whatever. I mean, none of us are compatible on that level. We're all raging power mongers. We all want our way. The only thing that can make two sinners live and love well is the gospel. And Ephesians 2 through 5 draws that out for us. More importantly, the Bible gives me moral guidelines to use to make decisions. It doesn't matter what my personality type is versus the other person. If that person is an unbeliever, I can't marry them. I can't go into business with them. I can't have a super close relationship with them. It doesn't matter how good a money-making opportunity a particular job is that fits my opportunity. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how well a job fits my personality. If it's against the law, I can't take it. Regarding non-moral decisions, the Bible tells us that God is the source of wisdom, and the Bible has a whole section that we call wisdom literature. So the Bible is where we need to be going to make decisions. Further, making decisions based upon these personality types assumes, it seems to me, that the goal is to do the thing that will cause you the least trouble. It seems to me that the apostles were running headlong into trouble frequently. Doesn't it seem that way to you?
Yeah.
I mean, the life of a Christian is not supposed to be this constant search for smooth sailing. Let the Bible in the hands of the Holy Spirit be your guide for life, not some personality test that doesn't have the same goals for you as God Almighty. The Bible has guidelines. It has wisdom for life that are in line with His priorities. That should be what we run to as we think about decision making, who we are, our identity, all of that.
Yeah, we'd want to reiterate too. If you're just doing this for fun, we're not saying you're guilty.
No, we're not condemning it all.
We
go back to the first thing that we said, that it just kind of depends on how much weight you're putting on the thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, we hope you found this episode helpful. If you did, please share it. Give us a like on our social media presence. Go and give us a review on the podcast app of your choice. And until next time, Greg.
Thanks.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.